Well, welcome again, and thank you, Tamara and music team, everyone making worship possible this morning. We continue the series, New Beginnings, and this morning we're looking at Come and See. We are in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. And this is right after Jesus' baptism. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while we're still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we continue the series in John, New Beginnings. This morning we're looking at Come and See. True story, I know this pastor and his wife, and actually the pastor's wife wasn't thrilled about being a pastor's wife at all. Her husband had been a builder, and she rather liked that lifestyle. But he was a new pastor in town, and she pulled up to an intersection. She was sort of fuming about being the pastor's wife, and she heard this guy behind her honking and honking and honking, and the light hadn't even turned green. And so finally she rolled down the window and said, "Up yours, buddy," and yelled at him. Well, she pulled into the grocery store parking lot, got out of the car, and she walked around the car. And as she walked around the car, she noticed that her husband had put a bumper sticker on the back that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." She just hoped the guy honking wasn't one of the prisoners in the church. Well, I don't know about you, what you think about spreading the good news, but this is a beautiful and, I think, powerful story this morning as we look at the first chapter of John. And I want to walk back into the story. Of course, as you know, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, who called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John had a number of disciples. That's John the Baptist. And this is, of course, in the Gospel of John, which is a different John who's watching all this. But John the Baptist, the next day, rather than sort of trying to accrue his own group of disciples, points to Jesus with his disciples and says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And with that, his disciples begin to follow Jesus, and they go to Jesus, and they start to follow Jesus, and Jesus turns around and said, "What do you want?" Great question, isn't it? One for all of us to think about, and they called him Rabbi and asked where he was staying. Right? And Jesus said, "Come and see." A beautiful invitation to follow him in a way. And when you think about that invitation of Jesus to those disciples to come and see, I think it's also an invitation to each and every one to follow Jesus, to come and to see. Not just to watch from afar, but to experience Jesus. Notice they followed Jesus to where he was. They sat down for a while, and they were under Jesus' teaching, which was a transforming life experience. And in your own life, how are you at coming and seeing and experiencing Jesus? Is your life of experience, is your life of discipleship one of freshness with the Lord? Is it one of commitment? And then you'll notice the next thing is to follow me. So they had been there for a while. And then what are we told? We're told that Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon. and he brings Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You were called Simon, but you will be called Cephas." And it's interesting, isn't it? In this, Jesus invites him to follow me. Now, Simon, as you may know, is the word for sandy or shifting, right? We still use the word sandy, but sandy is like shifting sand. So if you think of something built on the sand, it's not a really good place to build something, right? So it's sandy, it's Simon coming, and then Jesus says, "You will be called Cephas," which means rock, the rock, like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, or Rocky, if you go back, you know, if you're from back in the day, for Sylvester Stallone, but someone who is powerful, steady, and that you can build a foundation on. And so Jesus was predicting what was going to happen in Peter's life, that the past, whatever that was, would be washed away. He would have a new present and a transformative future as he followed Christ. And I think that's beautiful, isn't it? We will see, as we follow in John's gospel, how Peter's life has changed. But in that moment, it is sort of a prediction as Jesus tells him that his name has changed. Now, as you probably know, in the Bible, names often indicate character. And so Jesus was saying, "Listen, Peter, you're going to go from being the sandy, shifty person you can't count on to the rock, the one that you can count on that is a foundation for the church and for faith and for life." And I think God invites us into that same thing as we follow Christ. Now, it doesn't necessarily happen all at once. Many transformative epiphany moments do happen at once, but we're invited into discipleship, for we follow Christ along the way of life. And it takes a lot of commitment, frankly. And, of course, we know that the pandemic has been such a challenge for folks, and, you know, a lot of folks staying away and watching online, which is great that we have the technology. And but we wonder about commitment, because, you know, what does it take, 21 days for a new habit, and it's been over 21 months for worshiping together. But and I want people to be cautious. But, you know, I just happened to be watching the playoff game last night. Right? In Green Bay, less than 0 degrees. The stadium is packed. It's snowing. There's ice on the ground. People are there cheering for, you know, whether it's Green Bay or San Francisco 49ers. Green Bay lost in the last minutes. But you know what? I was looking, you know, there's some commitment to football. What about our commitment to Christ as we follow Christ? Now, I love football too. I watched the game. I cheered for Green Bay. They didn't win. But anyway, people were there, sub-zero temperatures with it snowing, and some people had been in the parking lot all day barbecuing. You know, hats off to them, because that's commitment. What if we were committed to following Jesus with the same kind of passion? I think we need to reignite our passion as we begin to, hopefully next month and beyond, come out of the pandemic too. And we can follow online, I know that, but what is your level of passion as we follow Christ? Christ invites us into a transformational life experience. And all of us have some things in the past we'd rather forget, and we want a new future. And Jesus offers us, maybe it's not a name change, but it's a life change. Whatever those things are that are weighing on you and you want forgiven from Christ, God offers us forgiveness and offers us a new future. Robert Fulghum is a pastor and writer and wrote Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. But one of the things that he shares that I really like, he said that one time he was in a small country store. He was traveling, stopped in a small town in Idaho, and he went into this country store. And he got a few things, and he went to the cash register, and he was at the cash register, and he looked, and there was a revolving door. And above the door, it said, "You've got to go in order to go out." And he thought to himself for a moment, he said, "You got to go in to go out." And he said, you know, that's really a life-changing experience. That's what it is to follow Christ. You've got to let Christ go in before you can go out. Christ is the one who changes our inward life, and then we can go out. And then he saw, as he gave the cashier his money, and then the money came down the cash register and was in this little metal pool, and above that it said, "Please accept your change and take it with you." And he thought to himself, you know, that's the second lesson here today, which is that we are to accept our change from Christ and to take it with us wherever we go. How are you at following Christ? How are you at allowing Christ to go in before you go out? And how are you at allowing Christ to change your life and to accept that change and to take it with you? Jesus would invite all of us to follow him, to come and see, and then follow me, and then finally to share the good news. I love this because in this first chapter, just as things are getting going, what happens here? John the Baptist looks at his disciples and says, follow Christ. He's the Lamb of God. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. I have to get smaller. He has to get greater. Follow him, right? He shares the good news with them. And then we think about Andrew for a moment. And what does he do? The first thing he does after he follows Jesus himself, he goes and gets his brother Peter, right? Now, it's interesting because how often do you hear about Andrew, right? Now, Andrew means mighty man of valor, means valor, means strong. But we never really hear that much about Andrew. We see him with the other disciples, but we hear a lot about Peter. But someone once remarked, a number of people, as a matter of fact, have remarked, the greatest thing that Andrew ever did was to go and get Peter. And Peter was the one who preached the first sermon to the multitude. Peter was the one who was one of the great leaders of the church, and Peter transformed millions of people's lives. Sometimes just sharing the good news with someone else makes all the difference. And then what happened to Philip? Philip goes and shares the good news to his friend Nathaniel. Nathaniel is sort of a cynic. He's a skeptic, and he's underneath this tree. And Philip goes to Nathaniel and says, hey, listen, come and see the Messiah, the one that Moses talked about, the anointed one from God, and he's from Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And what does Nathaniel say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Nazareth is like a podunk place, all right? He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And it's really sarcastic. And what does Philip say? He uses the same words Jesus spoke before, come and see, and the other disciples did too. Come and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Come and see. So Nathanael is on his way to see Jesus, and Jesus looks as Nathanael's coming. He says, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile, which means, you know, someone who's really real about life. And Nathanael hears that and says, man, you must be the Messiah. And Jesus said, you believe because of this? You will see greater things than this. I saw you under the tree before even then. And his life is changed, and they begin to follow Christ. You know, all of us are called to share the good news, and I think that's really important in our lives if you think about it. And so when you look at that moment, I think in our own lives, who are you sharing the good news with today? I mean, you might just be an Andrew, where you share with your brother or sister or someone at work, and you might think, that's the smallest thing ever. I just said, hey, you know, you should experience Christ. You might not be Peter. Maybe you are Peter, and that's fine. But you might just be the Andrew who just shares the good news. You might just be the Philip who shares with a cynic. And Jesus invites those who have questions, even those who are skeptical sometimes, to come. Questions are welcome in God's house. Honest questions and seeking honest answers. There's a story that I love that's a true story. And it's about this 17-year-old boy back in 1854. And he was struggling. He didn't want to go to Sunday school. Didn't like it at all. And as a matter of fact, he was sort of forced to go to Sunday school, and he didn't know anything about the Bible. And the Sunday school teacher asked if he could find the Gospel of John. Don't you hate it when someone puts you on the spot like that? He couldn't find the Gospel of John. And this person by the name of Edward Kimball said, wait a second, I'll show you where it is. So he leaned over, showed him the Gospel of John. They developed a friendship there, this older man by the name of Kimball, who also taught in Sunday school, and this young boy. And this young boy went through some trauma, and he went to where this person, the Sunday school teacher, worked, which was a shoe store. And he went to the shoe store, and he started talking to him, and this Edward Kimball just laid out the message of God in a very loving and kind way and invited him to find Christ, and the young boy found Christ. And his name is Dwight L. Moody. And that Sunday school teacher led Moody to Christ, who is estimated to have led some 100 million people to Christ. Now, you probably don't know the name of Edward Kimball, but you probably know the name of Dwight L. Moody, founded the Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church in Chicago, who's gone to be with the Lord. But that's not the end of the story. Moody would go and preach different places, and at one of his revivals, there was a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman, who came to Christ. And of course, Chapman began to preach. He began to share with other people. And because of William Chapman, there was a man by the name of Billy Sunday, who was a baseball player, African-American baseball player, great player back in the day. And he was converted. He became an evangelist. He used to slide into the pulpit, you know, like sliding into home plate, and was a great preacher. And then because of Billy Sunday, there was a man by the name of Mordecai Ham that was converted. And Mordecai Ham went out and did revival service. And at one of the Mordecai Ham services, a young man by the name of Billy Graham came to Christ. All because of a Sunday school teacher by the name of Edward Kimball that you probably don't really recognize the name of, because he was willing to share the good news. Sometimes it's someone in the pulpit. Sometimes it's a Sunday school teacher. Sometimes it's someone at the shoe store that's sharing the good news. How are you at your level of sharing the good news? So this morning, I think that Christ would invite all of us to come and see. You don't have to take someone else's word for it. Experience Christ for yourself. Come with your questions, but follow Christ. And as we follow Christ, Christ invites us into a relationship of discipleship where he forgives the past and makes the present new and gives us a new future with plan and purpose. And then how are you about sharing the good news? It doesn't matter how eloquent you are. It doesn't matter if you know where the Gospel of John is. Hopefully you will after this series, right? But share what you know. Reach out in love. Invite people's questions. It's fine. Jesus would invite us to go along the way of life. What is your level of passion? I don't know. If we had church outside today, sub-zero, would you be there with your cheese hat on, cheering on Jesus? I don't know. But we might take a lesson from sports about the level of passion and commitment and maybe re-fire up our commitment. I want to close with this story, which I love. And I don't know if you're a fan of Anne Lamott, who is the author, now a Christian, but she shares sort of her own life story. And she said that when she was in her young 20s, she had a very, very close relationship to her father. And her father passed away tragically. And she just felt there was a huge hole in her life. And it was so bad that she sort of spiraled into this depression and anxiety, and she began to have abuse alcohol and drugs, and she really became suicidal. And she shares that there was one night when she was in a room, and her room was dark, and she was laying in bed, and she became aware, she said, of a presence in the dark corner. And after a while, she says, she began to believe it was the presence of Jesus. And she thought for a moment to herself, and she said, oh, you know, what would all my intellectual friends say if I said that I started following Jesus? So finally she said, go away. I don't want anything to do with you. And she said, after a while, she felt the presence of Christ just leave. She said, but it was interesting because she began to see these little moments where God would kind of wink at her, right? She said, in the smile of a baby or in a sunset or in a sunrise, she began to see God sort of smiling at her. And she still rebelled. She said, she swears that one time she was walking across the street and she saw Jesus in a yellow Pinto who stopped so she could walk across the street with a bag of groceries. Now she says, you may think that's crazy. She said, but I swear it was Jesus. So finally, after all these little moments where Jesus was there, finally she just said once, okay, I'm yours. I'm yours. And she said her life was transformed in that moment. Not a special prayer, just I'm yours. I'm yours, Jesus. She said that her life seemed to just lift, just brighten. And she was able to let go of alcohol. She was able to let go of drugs. She began reading the Bible. And she thought to herself, I really ought to go to a church, but you know, would the church really accept me? Because I've had this past, right? And so she decided that she wasn't going to go to a big church. She was going to go to a small church. And so she went to this small church. And to her surprise, this group of folks really just loved on her. They welcomed her. They celebrated her first year of sobriety. They celebrated that she was free from drugs, and began to disciple her along the way. And along the way, her life was transformed in ways that she had never imagined. Of course, she became the great woman Christian writer that she is today, writes some amazing books. I hope that you read some of her books. But it all started in a dark room where Jesus came and met her where she was and invited her to come and see. She wasn't willing at first, But after a while, she started to follow Jesus. After a while, she started to experience Christ, just like Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel, and her life was changed. So today, wherever you are in your life of discipleship with Christ, whether you're sort of a skeptic like Nathaniel, or you're just following somewhere along the way, or experience some of the ups and downs and bruises of life like Anne Lamott, God invites us to come and see, to come and experience a new life, to follow him in discipleship, and as we follow him, we will grow day to day, and to share the good news. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't even need to know where the Gospel of John is. If you will just follow step by step, God will be faithful. So Christ invites you today to come and see and to follow him. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we do follow you today and look up to you, some of us are questioning like Nathaniel did underneath the tree. Some of us just want to have some questions answered or to hear your voice and to hear your teaching. Others of us are really in a crisis like Anne Lamott. But all of us need you to transform our lives. So Lord, help us to experience a new beginning that comes only through you. Help us to come and see. Help us to follow you. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.